Great to have you along here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Did you know that tomorrow is Data Privacy Day? It's National Data Privacy Day, and also Governor Walker has proclaimed it, started to reemphasize it, Wisconsin Data Privacy Day as well. So we're really pleased to welcome Michelle Reinen, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection in our Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection to be with us today to talk about how do we protect our data and how do we keep ourselves from having our identity stolen, things of that nature, and probably get into some other consumer protection issues as well as we move along here today. But I hope you'll join in. Maybe you've got an experience to share. Maybe you just have a question to ask. Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us, and the email address is talk@wpr.org. That's talk@wpr.org. And Michelle Reinen, welcome. Great to have you with us.
Thank you very much for having me.
First month on the job, but you've had a lot of experience in consumer protection.
I have. I've been with the Bureau for 15 years doing lots of different jobs and functions, and it's been a really good time.
Well, it's great to have you with us today. And obviously, data privacy, very important. Why is it scheduled? Why is that day for tomorrow scheduled for tomorrow? Is there any particular reason, or just that might be a good day to do it?
Well, it's a day that the internationally and nationally agencies, government, businesses came together to take time to recognize that private data needs to be protected. So it's really just that day set aside to give it that one moment of thought, yeah. But it needs to be a year-round effort.
Yeah, it certainly does. And I guess the extent of the problem is fairly great. I mean, there are a lot of people who wind up losing their identity, for example.
Yeah, some statistics show that about 9 million citizens throughout the U.S. on average can end up having their identities stolen or tampered with. And so it is a large problem for citizens.
I was just a personal experience, one that turned out well for us. We had a call from our credit card company, and they said, did you really want to have this necklace and ring shipped to, Arizona, because you're living in Madison? And we said, what ring? What necklace?
Exactly. I've had a couple experiences like that myself, and they actually timed out about a year apart where I was getting a new credit card with a new credit card number sent to me. And the credit card companies and agencies are really good about noticing that now, so they have really helped combat this.
What's the most important thing to know for people to protect themselves against identity theft?
Well, one thing, there's a few most important, I guess, but one thing is to really guard their social security number. Mm-hmm. Don't use it as your identifier, your password. That is for tax purposes. It's for your income purposes. But don't carry that in your wallet with you. You need it when you get hired for the job. You don't need it to apply for jobs. So mm-hmm. guard that. Keep it at home. Keep it locked up. And don't be giving that information out.
Yeah, I remember back in the day, years and years and years ago, I think probably everybody, I did it, carried our Social Security card in our billfolds.
Right.
You just don't do that anymore.
No, you don't. And, college students, that 19 to 25 are the largest victim group of identity theft. And part of it might be that they take their Social Security number, their card with them to college, because at some point they will be applying for jobs and needing to get that and show that. But they need to find a secure place to lock that up as well.
You know, we had an email from Joan who said, even some well-known websites ask for my private email password in order to receive their service or product. Is it safe to give out my password with the email address, and why are they asking for it?
I can't imagine why they're asking for it other than they're trying to get into your email and do something. Asking for your email address so they can send you information is one thing, but asking for your passwords, those are yours. I mean, you should guard those and protect those. Companies, agencies, businesses shouldn't be asking for your passwords unless it's to get into their system.
Okay, well, that certainly makes sense to me. When we go to a website and we're going to purchase something on a website, are there certain things to look for to make sure that if you're going to give your credit card information out, that things are safe?
You do. You want to look for secure sites. The websites have the little lock on the bottom to show that it's secure. You want to see that you're typically at an HTTPS site that will show it's secure, and that's another avenue for payment. Is there a way for you to just be billed later? I mean, that's another excellent way of doing business as well.
Under what circumstances is identity theft most likely to occur or happen? Kind of, in other words, what do we do that lets us open for identity theft?
Well, not guarding your information, handing it out, using it as passwords, not shredding documents. I mean, that's a huge thing. If you just leave documents lying out and about in the open in public areas, when you vacation and travel, need to safeguard. How are you handing over your credit card? Who are you giving it to? What are they doing with it? When you're grocery shopping, when you're putting in that PIN number, can everyone see you doing this? Mm-hmm. Are you talking on your cell phone at a public coffee shop and purchasing something? And so there you're just giving out your credit card information. Here's the expiration date. Now here's the security code on the back. Someone sitting nearby has everything that they need to make a purchase. So you really need to be aware, be conscious, and put things in a secure place and shred those things you're going to be disposing of.
We just broke our shredder. I'm going to have to get a new one. Get a new one for a home. I've been lately shredding by hand, and that is not the way to do it.
It's not the most efficient way, but it can help if you're having a frustrating day. When you're looking for that shredder, make sure you're going to be purchasing a crosscut shredder. Those are one of those little details. It puts it into little confetti pieces, and that's not going to be reassembled. So there's that extra little measure that you can take. Not just a shredder, a crosscut shredder.
Crosscut shredder. Well, I had the regular. I'm going to go with a crosscut this
time. That's right. Upgrade.
All right, there we go. You can join in, by the way, and we have callers online. Michelle Reinen, our guest, director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection for Wisconsin. So great to have her here today. Patricia in Madison has a comment or question, so let's go there. Hi, Patricia.
Good morning. It's really a comment. Michelle had just mentioned about not carrying one's Social Security card with them, but those of us over a certain age who are on Medicare are supposed to carry our Medicare cards with us because that's one of our health insurance cards, and that has the Social Security number right on there.
Yeah.
So it's, one's caught in a catch-22 there.
You're absolutely right, Patricia. That is a situation that is concerning. I believe it's being looked at in a larger venue. If you can, try and leave it at home when you don't have to get your prescription filled, you don't have a doctor's appointment, and you aren't going to need it with you, and just try and take it on those trips. I know that's an extra burden and thing you have to remember when you go, do I have all this stuff? But when you go to the doctor, you usually have to take your list of prescriptions and things and maybe try and add your Medicare card to that list and leave it at home as much as you can.
There you go. Thank you very much for calling, Patricia. Again, you can join us at 1-800-642-1234. It's 1-800-642-1234. Or email us at talk@wpr.org. Another email from Amy in Madison this time. And she says, when I apply for a job, they often ask for my Social Security number right on the application form. That seems to be information that I shouldn't have to kind of give out.
Yeah, I think that's a older habit that a lot of companies have. Talk to the person you're applying with for the job. See if they really need it now or if that's something that you can provide should you be hired or should it come to a point where they're maybe conducting a background check on you. Really depends on the job you're applying for. Sometimes they need it to do that background check. So tell them you're willing to provide it when they need it, but do they need it at this point in time? Don't let them know you're still very interested in the job and you're not trying to be difficult, but it's just another safeguard.
And just after, thinking about going through some hiring processes, oftentimes you a company, I guess, should be shredding the applications of those who weren't selected. But, you know, you'd hate to give that number out. And then it's on a piece of paper somewhere. And if you're not selected and there's a pile of applications there with a bunch of Social Security numbers on it, that's not a good thing.
Right. I mean, that leads to another question you can ask if they really want it up front and aren't going to let you give it to them later. What is their practice for holding that information? How long do they keep it? How do they secure it? And so you feel confident when you give it.
Absolutely. Well, let's go to Valerie in Manitowoc next. Hi, Valerie. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I have a cold. I may sound funny.
Well, so do I. So we're in the same boat.
Right. Well, here's my experience, and I'm very protective of my information. And our local Menards store has these some kind of, I guess you can apply and get benefits like free things and what have you.
Sort of a frequent buyer program?
I think so. And they asked for my Social Security number, and so it's like you are discriminated against if you don't give it.
No.
I find that very bad. Is there not some other way to identify people?
That is being worked on, another means of identification, and individual companies are trying to assign individual identification numbers. Is this card tied to any credit that you would get? I mean, if it's a card or a benefits that's related to any kind of credit card, then you will need to provide your Social Security number for those types of situations. So if it's tied to a lending situation, that's how they're doing their credit checks to make sure.
I have so many concerns these days because they are not real careful. Even our local bank, which is I believe it's a credit union, and they are hiring high school young people. I'm sure they're good, but they're still young and immature.
Yeah.
And they work at the windows.
Yeah.
And I had money. I took some money before we went on vacation, and when I checked my slip, which I didn't do until we reached our destination, they had taken it out of someone else's account.
Oh.
There are so many ways that you have to. My mom is 95, and I think to my, and she had something happen like this last summer. And
Well, I tell you, this and especially, Michelle, I think, well, not only elderly, but certainly elderly can fall prey to some of these kinds of things.
They can. Like I said, the college student seems to be the largest victim group, but the elderly are also at a high rate of identity theft. And part of that could be because their Social Security number has been used for so long as their identifier. This wasn't an issue. They carry around a lot of information with them, so they're ready. Try and minimize that information that's being carried around. Sometimes there's just extra trust. You do a lot of business face-to-face, so just be cautious.
Yeah. Thanks, Valerie, for calling. Appreciate it. Let's go to Bob and Adams next. Bob, hi to you.
Hey, good.
What can we do for you?
Well, my question is that about a year or so ago, I was interested in subscribing to satellite TV, DirecTV, and they had this deal about, you get this free satellite, you get this free recorder and whatnot. And so I called them, and one of the questions was, okay, what is your Social Security number? And I told him, well, I'm not giving out my Social Security number to you. And he said, well, we're giving you all this equipment. And I told him, I guess I don't need that equipment. So what is your comment on that?
That's another one of those lender-creditor-type situations. You're subscribing to a service. They'll be providing it. It's similar to a utility. When you sign up for your utilities, you have to give over your Social Security number as well because it's that lending-creditor situation. So that satellite company, I had to give mine to. Made me uncomfortable. And I asked them why, and I drilled them, but I handed it over because I wanted the service. So that's just a choice then. When you have a choice, go with someone else if you're not comfortable, if you have the option.
Yeah, if you have the option. There you go, Bob. Tom in Oshkosh, on to you.
Yes, I'm just wondering how your guest feels about freezing your credit report. I understand it's $10 per company, so that would be times three, and then you can open it up again if need be. Is that a good idea?
it's an excellent safeguard measure that consumers can take. If you are not in a situation where you will be asking to have credit extended to you in any kind of regular frequency, that's an excellent thing to do. There was a...
Now, what is that? What does it allow or not allow?
What it does is it freezes your credit record with the credit reporting agencies, so no one can take out a credit card in your name, not even you, unless you lift that freeze. So you pay each of the three credit reporting agencies $10, write them that you want to do this. We have forms on our website to file. And then if a bank tries to, you know, search your credit history to get a loan and tries to extend one, you want to take out a store credit card or a national credit card, mm-hmm. you won't be able to do that because they can't check your credit to do that. You would need to lift the freeze or remove the freeze in order for someone to extend you credit and have them even look at your credit report. And it costs you money to put it back on and do that. So you want to be in a situation when you do this where you're not going to be buying a house, having to, you know, get a new mm-hmm. credit card to buy furniture and stuff. So there was a 9-year period where I didn't need any new credit and, you know, mm-hmm. freezes weren't that available then, but it would have been a perfect time for me to put it on.
Okay. There you go. Thanks for calling, Tom, and for bringing that to my attention. I didn't realize we could do that. Let's go take some work. Well, Sharon here in Green Bay has a question she emailed in. The new Medicare cards don't have Social Security numbers, so maybe people can get new ones issued. So they must have come up with a plan, Michelle, for that.
Yeah, I think Patricia should then contact and see if she can get one of the new cards. I knew it was a situation they were working on. That's great that she has a new card that doesn't have it. Patricia should probably contact and see if she can get a new card issued.
That makes really good sense. Talking today with Michelle Reinen, who is Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection, visiting with her. Well, it's National Data Privacy Day tomorrow, so we're talking a bit about that and some other consumer protection issues as well. Join in with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our on-air producer and regular producer today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Michelle Reinen, our guest today, Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection for Wisconsin. Great to have her with us today. Again, join us at 1-800-642-1234 or email at talk@wpr.org. Speaking of emails, Jen emailed us and wonders, do large companies keep our credit card numbers? And if they do, for how long?
I do know of a number of large companies who do keep their credit card numbers, and part of that is for the return purposes. They've made it a lot easier where they can just automatically refund your card and you don't need to have it again when you make that return. Others for the convenience of purchasing. I don't know how long they keep them. That's a good question to ask. Some just keep it for that refund policy period, the 90 days, and get rid of it. Others, I know, keep it for a while. So what I've done when I've called a second time or given it to them the first time is ask if they keep it and ask them not to keep mine. Mm-hmm. And they've abided by that. So that is something that consumers can do.
On to Joan in Appleton next. Hi, Joan. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. My question is, on a new credit card, is it better to sign your name on the back, you know, as a signature, or is it better to put CID?
That's gone both ways.
What is CID for those who don't know?
Well, I know some say see photo ID. You see your photo ID is what it stands for, so that way you're verifying that the person is asking for that second piece of identification, so in case you lose your card, someone picks it up and tries to use it. Some have declined the card because it's not your signature on the back, and it says that it should be your signature. Yeah. So that's a difficult one because it depends who you're doing business with.
Yeah, I really, you know, you don't know what to do.
Right.
Which would you feel more comfortable doing?
Honestly, I sign my card, but I am always checking my wallet for my card, and it's the only card I carry around with me. I don't carry multiple cards. I carry one card, so that way I don't have to keep track of a lot of data.
Thank you for your information.
Yeah, thank you very much for calling, Joan. Barb, what's on your mind? Hello.
Hi, thanks. This is a great show, Larry. My question is, I was told by a friend of mine who travels a lot that she shreds her key card from hotels because all your credit card information and personal information that they take for the reservation is on there, and I was wondering if your guest can comment on that.
A few years ago, we started collecting a few of these hotel cards and scanning them to see what was on the cards, and it didn't contain personally identifiable information. But if people are concerned, they do collect their cards and shred them when they get home. You'd have to ask individual hotels, what are they putting on those cards? What's there? Is it just tying back to your account in their computer and it's not your information on the card? If you're able to walk around the hotel and charge a lot just using your card, that's more cause for concern, and it's not really a problem to take it home and shred it. That's that extra step to be extra cautious.
Absolutely. All right. There you go, Barb.
Thanks a lot.
Yeah. Thanks for calling. And Matt in Lake Geneva, on to you now. Hi, Matt.
Hi. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
When Social Security first came out, there were a lot of people who were concerned that the Social Security number would become a de facto ID number, a national ID number. And, I'm a person of a certain age, and so I can remember back when it was mostly optional to use your Social Security number. But now it's required for almost everything. I mean, you can't get a fishing license, a hunting license. You can't open any utility accounts. Everybody wants your Social Security number. And I think that this has become a big problem. I mean, with ID theft, we're kind of at the mercy of this national ID number.
Yeah.
There's been lots of pieces of legislation in various states to work with, if government is using the Social Security number as the ID number, to not do that. It's been a national discussion that there should be a different identifier as well. It is happening. You're absolutely right. And until something changes on the legislative venue, it will probably continue to happen. But companies are trying to be very responsible, creating different identifier numbers, safeguarding information, because if something goes wrong, if they have a data breach, if they've kept information too long, their reputation is also on the line. Good companies, solid companies want to be good to their customers, want to keep them safe, and are going to do what they need to do to have best practices in place.
Mm-hmm. I was thinking back to when I was a student, we used our Social Security numbers as our student ID numbers years ago. That does not happen now, but I can remember seeing grades posted with the Social Security numbers up on the wall for everybody to see.
I was with you on that.
Jackie and Eau Claire, let's go to you. Hi, Jackie. Thank you for calling.
Hi. I think my daughter has a situation where her ID was stolen and her friend's purse next to her was not. She had written in there her Social Security number, not carrying it with her, but they took only her driver's license and left all her and $40 and that little piece of paper. We've tried calling the Better Business, or not Better Business, we've tried to call the different bureaus. All I keep getting is automated people, and they want a seven-digit number. And I don't know what they're talking about, a seven-digit number, and I don't know how to contact anybody. What are the numbers that we can call so we can freeze her information?
Well, first, I suggest you actually contact our office. Contact the Bureau of Consumer Protection, Office of Privacy Protection, and they can help get you some fact sheets and information, or go on our website and get that information. The phone numbers will be there, the instructions on how to put some security freezes on if she's of an age that she can get credit extended to her. There's the contact information to contact the Motor Vehicle Department about letting them know her driver's license has been taken. There will be the other information that you need to contact the Social Security office. You should file a police report. That's going to be a first step because that will help you through the process. You'll need that police report about the incident, and then you'll have some different services available for you that they'll send you some information with no charge for having that police report. But, you know, contact our agency to make sure that you can get in touch with a specialist that assists victims of identity theft.
We didn't get any help through that. We tried immediately. She had to call the police. They said, there's nothing we can do for you. So I called the Social Security number. They told me to call the bureaus. All I get is automated. So I have not been able to find any help anywhere, and that's why I thought this would be a perfect place to call during this.
Well, the number for the department is an 800 number. It's 800-422-7128.
It does have an automated system, but there are live bodies. There's also a way for you to leave a voicemail if the phone lines happen to be tied up. Okay. They can get you over to the Office of Privacy Protection for someone to talk. Okay. You can also just, through the website, send an email, and then you can be reached that way.
So it's 800-422-7128. And the website, www.privacy.wi.gov?
Yes.
G-O-V? Yeah.
Yes.
What is it? Private what?
Privacy. So P-R-I-V-A-C-Y.
Okay.
Dot W-I dot G-O-V.
Okay.
Yeah. So you should be getting some pretty quick responses on this, Jackie.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for calling, and I'm sorry about the theft. It's a terrible thing sometimes for, I know there have been horror stories of people who had an awful time trying to get their everything straightened out after their identity was stolen.
It can take years, lots of time, lots of money. It's very stressful. One tip I didn't cover early on when we were talking is that you may not know you're a victim of identity theft. Consumers should get a free credit report. They're entitled to one free credit report a year from each of the three credit reporting agencies. That's a great way for you to just monitor to make sure nothing's going on behind your back that you don't know about, to make sure you are not a victim of identity theft without knowing.
Yeah, and somebody told me once, if you do take one about every 4 months or so, then every 4 months you're getting a new check, and it's, so each one is free.
That's right. If you are disciplined enough to be able to do that,
to remember it.
Yeah. If not, just get them all at once a year. But I do like the going every quarter type situation, yeah. Every third of the year.
Yeah, there you go. Let's go to Doris in Two Harbors next. Doris, hi to you.
Hi. I have a comment, not a question. There's something I've noticed, and I wanted to see what you thought about it and maybe to alert other people. When I use my credit card, if I'm in a large store, maybe one with, you know, newer computer equipment, et cetera, and they run my thing through, and the sales receipt that they keep has only the last four digits of my credit card number. And then I'm in some smaller places or some other stores, maybe with older equipment, I'm guessing, and the credit slip that they keep has my whole number for the credit card. And I thought, well, I don't know whose hands this is going to pass through and who all the employees are at this store. So I always take my pen and scratch out all, you know, the first few numbers. And I've sometimes talked to a clerk about it, and they go, oh, I never noticed. I mean, people seem to be oblivious to that. What do you think about that?
That seems like a very good education tool for those smaller businesses. There is older equipment. The newer equipment does just truncate it and only show the four digits. It's usually some of the smaller businesses, but through the credit card, when you're doing business, they are doing their business with the credit card vendor. There are rules and procedures and regulations that they need to be following, and in order to keep using that credit system. So eventually, hopefully we all get to the four truncation, but that's what you're doing seems to be a very good way to be protecting your information, and I'm glad you're that observant.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. Yeah, good. I'm glad I mentioned it then, because people seem to not notice that, and even the clerks sometimes say, we're only the ones going to have it. And I said, where does it go from there and how many clerks are there? And sometimes you're a local business person you totally trust, but maybe when you're out on the road or you're in some small place, you don't know who these people are that are seeing your whole number now.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Thank you very much, Doris, for calling. Appreciate your call. Judy in Iron River says, I'm often asked for the 3-digit security code from the back of my credit card. Should I give it out?
If you're going to be using your credit card to make that purchase, some do require it. Usually it's when you're not presenting the card in person, so they can't verify signature. This is a way for the company to know that it's not a card that's false, just been mm-hmm. lifted and skimmed, that you have the actual card.
And if you're doing it online, as you say, there's usually a lock or an S, I think, up in the address, is it not?
Right, to show that it's a secure site and you're not just relaying information for the world to access.
All right. And Cynthia just mentioned it's important to realize that if you're robbed, it can result in identity theft. People don't always think about that. If it's not necessarily, it doesn't have to be a purse. It could be something else.
That's right, because you have all sorts of information. If it's your house lying around, you may not notice that stuff is missing, a bank statement. If the thief happens to be in there, grab the TV, and you were paying bills and stuff's lying around. So you just need to take inventory of those smaller things that are about your identity as well.
Mary in Eau Claire, it's your turn now. Hi, Mary. Thanks for calling.
Hi. See, I lost my ID in an accident, and during that time I was recovering, I let my driver's license lapse. I wasn't driving, didn't need it. I figured I'd renew it later. And then when I went to renew it now, I can't renew it because you can't get a driver's license without a picture ID, a valid picture ID. And you can't get your birth certificate, although the birth certificate won't work to get the driver's license. But just on curiosity, I'll get every piece of, I'll try to recover every piece of ID I have. And I can't get a birth certificate without a picture ID. I can't cash a check. I can't open a bank account. I can't cash a dollar bill in a bank. They won't even look at me.
That would really be something that I think would need assistance from the Department of Transportation and the Motor Vehicle Unit, what they can do for you to assist in a situation like that. You can go to our website and try an email and see what assistance our consumer specialists that assist victims can give you, some extra information if they've heard of that before. They're dealing with it every day. The calls, they may have some extra information I don't have for you. But otherwise, I would reach out to the Department of Transportation Motor Vehicle Unit as well and see what someone there is able to do for you. There might be some extra paperwork.
That has to be done.
Yeah.
Yeah. There you go. So, and do you have that on your website, the motor vehicle? Otherwise, just look it up in the phone book, I guess.
Yeah, and actually, we do have some contact information for them with our Identity Theft Consumer Tips fact sheet. That's our most popular one. It's great for people just to have on hand because it's the tips, what they should do to protect themselves, and then a few tips of if it happens to you, what do you do first?
Okay, so, and you could call... You could call and get that at 800-422-7128.
7128?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you so much.
Or you could also go to privacy. If you wanted to go on the web, you could go to www.privacy.wi.gov. Privacy.wi.gov.
Okay.
All right. Great. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. Sonia in Delavan, we'll go to you next. Hi, Sonia.
Hi. I have sort of an unusual situation. I mean, I guess not that unusual, in that I went through a divorce, and I'm trying to manage all this debt that was left on my plate. And one of the credit card companies, I was on the phone with one day, and they're like, well, we show this debt with
chase that's unresolved. And the only companies that I hadn't been paid on were these two that were my ex-husband was supposed to take. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And I city monitor, so I went into my credit things and looked and looked and looked, and I could not find this debt that they were talking about. So I called Chase, which is who they said the debt was through, and I even looked online on my online accounts there, and this debt still didn't show up, and Chase didn't know what I was talking about. But it was clearly under my Social Security number. So I called a debt management company because I'm trying to consolidate things, and they found this debt, too. And they said it's on Experian because they were looking at my Experian report. So I pulled my Experian report, and I'm looking at my Experian report. I see this next card thing that they're talking about, but it shows a zero balance. But with them, it was showing debt. And I'm just wondering where this is coming from or how I pinpoint this, because if it turns out I can't manage this debt and I do have to go through something like a bankruptcy, I don't want this mystery debt to just pop up. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And what would this be and where would it be coming from?
You know, I don't know until we dig in, I guess, over the air. But I think filing a complaint with our agency is a good avenue to start. You've collected some data and tried to unweave the web, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I think maybe some of our specialists would be able to help and give you some better guidance in how to continue to do that. You might need to be requesting some extra documents from them. It may be an identity theft situation. If it's not yours, someone may have used your number to take that out. So I think filing a complaint and trying to get some of our specialists to assist you would be a good idea.
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. And Caroline in La Crosse. Hi.
Hi. Larry?
Yes, go ahead.
Hi. People should know that when they take out a store credit card, they mm-hmm. need to read the entire application, because when you get down to the point where they say what they're going to sell of your information, they can sell your Social Security number to people. And the only way you get out of that is you need to call in within a month and tell them that you do not want them to sell your Social Security information. And a lot of people will take out credit cards and just have them fill them out and never read the handout that they give you that tells you the company has a right to sell even your Social Security information. I don't know why that is legal.
I have not heard of that. And I'm pretty sure, Michelle, that that's not a... certainly for every company. But I think the point is, the good point of this is that you need to actually pay attention to that contract you're signing. And it's always small type and hard to read. And
yeah, I think a foundation of all consumer protection is read everything, get it in writing, and make sure you're reading the details and even the fine print. A good business isn't going to put it in fine print, and there are some regulations on different areas where they can't put the information in the fine print. But read it, pay attention, make sure you're opting out, following up, asking the questions. What do they do with your information? Who hangs on to it for how long, and how do they store it when they hang on to it?
And once more, the phone number for you folks is 800-422-7128, correct?
That's right.
And the website?
Is the department website is datcp.wisconsin.gov. And our Office of Privacy Protection is www.privacy.wisconsin.gov.
Real pleasure. Thank you so much for coming by today, Michelle. I hope you'll come back and be with us again.
Great. Thank you.
Love to have you back. Michelle Reinen is Director of the Bureau of Consumer Protection for Wisconsin. Great to have her with us. And, you know, we like to go every so often to cover a variety of consumer protection issues. Today we zeroed in a little bit on privacy, but there are scams and other kinds of things that we can talk with her about as well. And we'll do that. We'll have her back. We'll do it again. Coming up, though, we're going to be tweeting, texting, checking email, surfing the web, Oh, boy. I do that all the time. Are you on technology overload like I sometimes am? Well, Joanne Cantor has a new book out. It's called Conquer Cyber Overload. I just finished reading it. It's a fascinating read, and we'll talk about it next here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.